Okay, well, this is our last call for 2020, which is insane. All at the same time, the time has, well, no, it hasn't. I was going to say it's gone slow and fast, but it hasn't. Like for me, it's just gone very fast. Although I can't believe we're already through 4 months since we started in September. And I was sharing, before I put the recording on, I was sharing, you know, if people are in the circle are feeling anything like I've been feeling the last couple of days and weeks, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a very small circle today, because what I've noticed for myself and what I've also just noticed as I've been in client sessions is that even though this is actually supposed to be the slowest, quietest time of year, we're nearing towards solstice, the longest night of the year, you know, like that silent night. We're moving into winter, which is so much about hibernation, about regeneration, about taking, you know, deep care by slowing down. Even though we're in that season, it feels like everything has been getting faster lately. And there's been this frenetic energy. So much, I think, having to do with just the state of the world. I think also people, I rarely say things like this. This is going to sound a little woo, or I don't know, maybe you guys think I say woo things all the time, but I'm going to say, like, I feel like globally, like energetically, people just want this year to be over. And so we're speeding things up in a sense. And then of course, like the nature of the holidays is that even though these holidays are there to support us in slowing down and seeing the light in the middle of the darkest night, right? They do cause, even in a pandemic, for us to more activity to happen. Yeah, and Anne is saying major astrological shifts, which I've been wanting to do some more reading on, because that's the other thing, like I've just been feeling it, right? So anyway, all of this to say, number one, let's end our year together powerfully, which is my intention for our time together today. Because we're a small group, so let me say a couple of things. Number one, no matter what, my intention is for the first 20 minutes for us to actually just dig in a little deeper into this idea of rest and space and slowing down. It's funny, I just looked at you, Kelsey, not on purpose, but like my eyes just went to, because what I was just about to say, and I was thinking about myself, but I think it's for all of us and for you, Kelsey, like for as much as we teach this, we also have to learn this over and over and over again. What I want for all of you is to be fully empowered and doing all the things you want in your client work, in your business, in your lives, but to be able to do it with a sense of spaciousness and with a sense of self-care, and with a sense of understanding that there are times for hustle and there are times for not hustle. Both are important. So we'll spend a little time with this. And then my original intention from there was, it's a practicum, you know, for us to do some practice coaching and practice work together. Although because we are so small, I don't know if this is a good idea to toss this out there for the group to decide, but we could also, if you guys need Q&A or if you have things that you want to workshop, that's a possibility as well. Do you guys have thoughts on that? If the majority want a workshop, if you are like, no, this was a practicum and it needs to be a practicum, that's why I showed up, I'm going to honor that, because that was in, you know, our schedule. But if not, I'm feeling like, let me give each of you some time today. Awesome. Kara, did you want to say something?
Oh, no, I was just like, that sounds great.
Okay. Okay, so let's do that. So let's start here. I want you to take a moment and think about this and jot down some notes. Where and how are things moving too quickly for you right now? And your definition of too quickly, right? Whatever that is for you, where is there too much activity right now? Where are you putting too much, whatever that means for you, energy? Where are you extending yourself in ways that are not appropriate for you? Take another moment with that. And here's another question that kind of dovetails or piggybacks on that. And I just want you to be honest with yourself. Where are places right now where you are making yourself busier than you need to be? Where are places right now where you're making yourself busier than you need to be? And I guarantee for all of us, there are at least one or two places where we're making ourselves busier than we need to be. Next thing to think about. So let me give some context to this question. I think that there are good types of distraction or productive, let's not call it good and bad, productive types of distraction and non-productive types of distraction. So like for me, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, at the end of a long day, I worked and, you know, I've been with the kids and all the things, and I get the kids to bed. There is nothing that I love more than sitting in front of the TV with John for, you know, a half hour, an hour. And for the most part, I feel like it is a productive kind of distraction. But then sometimes that may cross the line into not so productive distraction, right? Like, I have the New York Times crossword app on my phone, which, you know, if I like tune in for 10 minutes, it's a beautiful, like it really is like a form of self-care. And I'm like almost mastering most Wednesday puzzles now, which is amazing for me. But that being said, if I spend more than 10 minutes or I start to do it obsessively, that's like a form of not so productive distraction, right? So where are some ways that you're engaging in not so productive distraction right now that's actually causing more busyness for you? it's causing things to feel tighter and faster for you. Give you another moment with that. And the next thing to think about for all the questions that we've looked at so far, what's the impact of all of that? What has the impact been on you, on your body, on your psyche, on your work, on your relationships? There might be some positive impact in there too, by the way, right? And it'll have to be negative. But what's been the impact? And then last question, and then we'll pause and we'll hear some shares and go a little bit deeper. In the ways that you're recognizing that you are making yourself busy, that you're really jamming things in, that you're not allowing for the spaciousness, what's the driving motivation or fear or belief under all of that? And I get that for some of you, some of it may feel like, well, I just have to because I have all of these responsibilities. I have some of that myself. And even so, there are some other pieces, inner pieces there too. So what's the motivation or the fear or the belief that's driving the busyness? All right, let's pause here. I'd love to hear from a couple of you. What are you seeing so far? What are you noticing? Kelsey.
Well, at a high level, all the questions ring true and I have answers for all of them. But what I'm noticing at a high level is that it's less than last year, that a lot of my answers were, you know, I'm not driving myself. Like your first question, where is there too much activity energy right now, extending yourself in ways that are not appropriate. Last year I would have been able to list like 10 of them. And I just was like, oh, maybe not as many. So I'm just, rather than having to go into the detail, I'm just noticing that it's better.
That's huge. That's a huge celebration, Kelsey. I'm so happy to hear it.
Yeah.
Yay.
And the same things that are there with a little bit of a different understory, right? So the old, I'm not good enough. I have to work all the time. I have to take every client. I have to take every It's not quite the same story underneath some of the busyness anymore. So even though there's a little less business, also the story underneath it is a little gentler.
Transformation. Yay. Awesome. Great. Who else? What are you seeing? Nicole. Oh, Kara and then Nicole. Sorry.
I am seeing a couple of things. One thing I want to say out loud is where I'm busier than I need to be is working at night. And this has been a big struggle for me. And I'm like so ready to work my way through it in this coming year. And I noticed what at night, like I put my daughter to sleep and I'm exhausted. And there's this like, there's two parts. I'm learning to play with the two parts. There's two parts that's like, you got to get this done because tomorrow's going to be much easier. It's like, you know, it's looking out for me. And then there's this other like nurture that's like, you're not going to be effective. Like, just go to rest. And then the other one's like, no, but you can't. And so I'm learning to just listen to the nurturer more. And I think that's going to be the key to like undoing this pattern. And yeah, and the other thing I'm noticing is that I'm looking towards a January launch and I'm getting like really busy around like, what are the graphics and what's the exact price point for the sales page, as you know, and like actually not, like I actually don't need to busy myself with those things. And I'm actually kind of avoiding the heart of what I need to be doing, which is like, what's my referral strategy? Like,
yeah, I'm so glad. So okay, there's so much great in here, like just to work backwards, like seeing where you're keeping yourself busy for your launch, right? Versus yeah. What's going to actually be effective and move you forward.
Yeah.
Graphics are great, but that's if you have extra time after things mm-hmm. like referrals. And then, you know, Kara, the first thing that you're talking about, I don't know if you did it on purpose, but I couldn't help noticing that you were using both hands mm-hmm. and the like, it's okay, just give yourself space. The last time I saw you on screen, your same side that was seizing up, mm-hmm. That just doesn't feel like a mistake to me.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Seeing that.
Thank you. Nicole.
Hi. I notice a lot of non-productive distraction. As of this week, because of the pandemic, we had some new strict rules. So all the shops are closed. There are no bars open or restaurants. So everybody is in some forced slowing down mode. But the first thing is in my head, which is going on, is I have to reach out to people. I have to see if everybody's okay because we cannot visit our family. We cannot visit our friends. How's everybody doing? And I want to write my newsletter and I want to burp. And the distraction, the non-productive distraction is then that I watch the news all the time and I go to bed too late because that's the only, I believe, that it's the only moment of the day that it's me time, which is actually not true, but it's like a circle. So there's no time for me during the day. I have to go to bed late and I need my sleep. So I feel restless. So this is what is going on. And
I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad you can see that, right? Because now you have some choice in terms of making space during the day. Right, even if it feels like a stretch.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. So well, the good thing is I'm now not at home. I'm in my village where I grew up here, and I'm going to the cemetery to the grave. Is it graveyard? Mm-hmm. The graveyard, yeah. Where my parents are. And after today, I think I'm going to slow down. But I'm on the cringe of. Well, one leg is there and the other is here. And
yes,
I know I feel more space now because today I arrived here in the village. So now I can look back.
You can take a deep breath. Good. Yeah. I'm so glad. And that's a great moment to start practicing maybe a new rhythm.
Yeah. Too.
Good.
Yeah. A new habit as well.
Yes. Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anne.
So like Kelsey, I'm doing so much better than I was a year ago at managing my time and managing my energy and managing around the busyness and not getting as wrapped up in things as I used to. And, you know, now that, you know, the, now the basement's dry and we've been able to settle back into some routines, just even being able to look back over the last couple of weeks and go, yeah, it was super busy and super disruptive and really hard to hold on to my priorities. And at a certain point I stopped, but I recovered a lot faster. And so I'm, it's feeling less like I'm getting wrapped up into the busy and more like just struggling to prioritize what I do have the energy for now that got left behind in the chaos. And what is it that I just need to be like, nope, that's not going to happen this year. That's going to be next year. That's going to be never. But then there is the aspect of, I want the holiday season to be pleasant for my family. I want it to not completely suck for me. Yeah, I actually said to them a couple of nights, like, if we don't do something for holidays, it's going to feel bad for me. And if we do things for the holidays in a completely different way, it's going to feel bad for me because of all the grief and the change and everything. So I can't be the one to make the decisions. You have to tell me what you all want and need, and we need to agree what that is and not make me be the one to do it all or decide it all. And so far that's working out okay.
I was gonna say, I mean, it sounds like huge growth and in so many different ways, the busyness and also the asking for support, you know, so well done.
Yeah, and like things, some of the busy, like some, a lot of the stuff that I'm feeling like I'm struggling to stay on top of is good. It's finally having the momentum to do the kind of business planning that I've always known I need to do. Finally having the momentum to have some follow-up structures. And like my therapy session Monday, you know, we were talking about kind of the year in review, so to speak, and how were things going? Was I slowing down for the holiday season? And I said, this is the most consistent clients that I've had, you know, all year, and people are committed and connected. And she's like, I had no idea that you have, you know, 5 regular clients, 3 of whom are actually like paying you full price right now. So, you know, till I said it out loud, I didn't either, because I hadn't been.
This is actually, and this is news to me too. So I'm so glad you're sharing. Yeah, so well done all around. And then the rest of the prioritizing.
Yeah.
I know you're going to sort that out. Give yourself space and you will.
You just have to not. There's a trap that I recognize between I have the momentum, let me use it, and I've started working on it and I have more time and I've got to finish it now, which they're not the same thing, really? But it's a really fine line. And I'm still kind of discerning how to tell when it's shifting from one to the other. But then I think like, maybe it's not so bad. If I'm like, you know what, if I push through 20 more minutes, I can finish this and that's going to feel good. But then I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh, my new glasses make me look so tired. And then I'm like, fuck, it's not the glasses, you know? And that's been like,
I'm so glad you have all this awareness. And what I'll just toss to you right now is watch your body. Your body will know if it's riding on momentum that you're meant to, or if it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So happy to hear it. Thanks. Kelvin.
Yeah. Just the quick thing I wanted to share is as we were going through the journaling exercise, I actually couldn't think of anything that felt like was moving too quickly, besides maybe time. But I think I'm like intentionally not stressing or busying myself. I like shut it down in October. So maybe that's also a problem.
Yeah, let's not call it a problem, but it sounds like you've maybe gone a little bit in the other direction, right?
Yes.
So it's good that you're calling yourself out on that, you know? And that doesn't mean that you should speed up these last 2 weeks of the year. But what my, you know, my question for you would be like, how can you use these 2 weeks of the year to set up a reactivation starting in January?
Yeah,
good. Okay, good. So last question before we move into Q&A time, and let me just open a light in here. If the winter had a piece of wisdom for you, particularly for the next few weeks, what would that be? If the winter had a piece of wisdom for you for the next few weeks, what would that be? You can just, I'd love for you to type it into the chat. All right. Rest is healthy and necessary for growth and renewal. Yep, so true. Go inside, be alone. You need it. Align, rest, plan, yes, and make moves in 2021. Yeah. All right. So for those of you that came in a little bit after we, oh, here's some other great ones. Let the winter winds blow away. What the dead things and the, what is the dead things and debris that you no longer need? Mm-hmm. Extended sacred time away from the computer. Yes. I'm taking some of these on too. All right. So for those of you that came in a minute or two after we started, what I was saying is I think we're used, since we're a small group today, and also it's our last call of the year, I want to just use this as workshop time and Q&A time to just really give you guys whatever you need to close out the year, you know, in the ways that you want to. So that being said, who can I help? Who's got a question? What is it that you need support on? Shamet.
So I guess I'd like to continue the conversation that we had earlier. You had some ideas about the summit.
Yeah, so just to bring everybody into the picture, so Shamet is planning an amazing summit. It's happening in February, and she's brought together 30 leaders who she's interviewing, and then all of those people are promoting the project, and the idea is they're going to be promoting it to all of their communities. People in their communities will opt in. That'll bring a lot of new people and new energy into Shamet's community. And so what I was saying is that anytime you do something like this, where there's going to be a big influx of people that are new to you and new to your work, of course, they'll get to know you by watching some of the interviews. You know, they'll learn a lot about you and your work by seeing how you interview, for sure. Although it is good to know, and this is just how it works these days, that a lot of people that opt into free things never even listen to the free thing, right? So some of those people may not get to know anything about you because they're just not, they think they're gonna listen and then they never do, right? I've certainly been guilty of that. And so, you know, either way, wherever people fall, you want to, it's always best when new people connect to you, when new people come into the community, to catch them sooner than later. If they just kind of like sit, and I'm very purposefully, you guys may notice I never use the word list when it comes to email community. Like I always encourage you to think about it as a community. So I'm purposefully using the word list right now. If they just come in and then just sit on your list, you've lost them. It is very, very hard to reactivate someone who hasn't connected, who hasn't, you know, been really brought in and nurtured 3 months later, 6 months later, 1 year later. If you're going to do anything like a summit where, Shamit, you're putting so much effort and energy and love and dedication to bringing these people in, we want to nurture them as soon as they come in, right? So there's a couple of pieces to that. So number one, for those of them that are going to tune in to the summit, nurture them through the summit. Not just think about the summit, not just as the interviews that they're going to be listening to, but the emails that they're getting once they've opted in. How are they feeling brought in and held and being part of a community and excited, right? So that's one thing that you want to think about. And then the second thing is, how can those people have a deeper experience of you? Because they don't know you. They've come in because they trust. Like I'm one of the people that Shamit has interviewed. I will let my community know about it. People are going to opt in because they trust me. They trust my opinion, right? But they don't really yet know Shamit. So you want to have an opportunity for people to connect with you and your work and your teaching and your energy in a deeper way. So, you know, there's lots of ways you could do that, but my recommendation would be to think about on the heels of the summit, like a week later or 10 days later, 2 weeks, somewhere in there, maybe to offer a free 60, 75 minute workshop or masterclass, something that, you know, all these new people that have come in, it would be a topic that they would be interested in, you know, something that would get them to like really show up. They know that they're going to learn, they're going to walk away with new information that's important to them, right? And then at the end of that workshop or that preview, invite them to a next step. It might be, it's going to be a conversation with you no matter what, whether it's private work or the priestess program, but you would invite people into a conversation with you at the end of that. Now that this, if you end up doing it as like a workshop or whatever it is, it can either be totally separate from the summit, or on the summit opt-in page, it can be like bonus, you know, masterclass on blah, 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 blah topic with the date on it. So as people come in, right, and as they come in, they get an email, they're already putting it on their calendar. You'll still give them reminders also in the summit and after the summit, and more people can come in, if they, you know, but so you can either think of it separate or that it's already part of the deal of the summit. That makes sense?
Yeah. It should it be, so I have been thinking about that. I'm going to do a nine day transforming wounds into wisdom into superpowers, like a half an hour session each day. That's tips and tools on transforming wounds into wisdom. And it's just like a little bite though, like half an hour each day. So that's,
is that, you know, happening concurrently with, yeah, the summit?
Yeah. Summit. Yeah. So okay. That was part of what I thought would help people get to know who I am and my work. But then I also thought about,
will that be live and interactive? How is that going to
be recorded?
Too many recordings for people to listen to. It's, they're going to get lost.
Okay.
I feel like it's going to be overwhelming and content overload if people are going to try to listen to interviews. And the, you know, what you could do if you want to do a little every day is do a are you going to have a Facebook community that people are going to come into? So you could do like a 15 to 30 minute live every day where people in, and also you want it to be interactive. So you could do that and then make a call to action at the end of each of those for people to connect in with you one-on-one for a call.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You could do it that way too.
So do, and
I'd be interested to see how that works. I think it's worth trying for sure.
Yeah. So instead of it being a recording, do live. Now, can you do, I think it is, I'm not sure, possible to do a live on Facebook and then record it and then put the recording in the All Access Pass.
Yeah, you can upload it to like YouTube or whatever. Ask your tech people.
Yeah, I will. Okay, and then my other question was, then I thought about offering what you said, like an interactive hour and a half or a weekend workshop or something like that. Do I do that during the summit week or do I do it after, like a week or two after?
So it depends. So if you're doing these every day where you're making, you know, you're already giving content through your content throughout and making these calls to action, I would wait 10 days before promoting the next thing. You want to let what you're already giving them land and the invitations that you're already making land before you make the next invitations.
Yeah. And do I, for the next event or workshop or whatever I decide to do 10 days later, should it be paid or should it be free?
So the event doesn't need to be 10 days later. I'd say promote it, like wait a week before you start promoting it. If you're going to do it in this way where you have these daily lives and you're making little invitations, right? So then maybe promote it, wait a little bit and promote it after that.
Promote it 10 days later.
Yeah. And so it depends. When you charge, less people come, but they're more invested. They're more likely to show up. Yeah. When you don't charge, more people opt in, but they're less invested and less likely to show up. So I, throughout the year, do a combination of paid previews and unpaid previews.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestion about this in particular?
Where is your inner wisdom leading? What's your feeling?
I am so spun out from doing almost 30 interviews in the last 2 weeks that I don't know where my intuition is at the moment.
You have time. Yeah. So you have time to decide. I say take your rest over the next few weeks and then come back to it, and we can come back to it too.
Okay, so 10 days later.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do I do it 10 days later to promote it?
Because you'll have been promoting conversations with you for those 9 days. Let that land before you make the next invitation into something.
Okay, and then my next question is, I thought about doing like some sort of like maybe, I don't know how much money, a certain amount of money off of the Priestess training, and maybe putting that, you know, maybe on the thank you page or something like that. But I don't want to come across as being salesy or like, I don't want it to be weird. And so I don't know where to put that or if I should or not, or it could be an email that I send later. I mean, do you have any ideas?
I think it would be best as email. I wouldn't put it on the thank you page.
Yeah, because it looks too,
you
know, not good. Okay, so do an email later.
Yeah.
Like saying, thank you, everyone. It was so amazing. I like to offer you da-da-da-da-da, that kind of thing.
Right. So you would, well, okay, you're getting into a couple of different offers. So I was suggesting that the offer just be come into a conversation about how we can work together. I have a Priestess program, or we can work privately, just to get people on the phone, right? Or you could just talk about the Priestess program, but invite them to a call. And so on the call, you can share about the discount.
Okay.
And then you can also send some follow-up emails, but I think it's important to not point people to the Priestess program, but to point people to a conversation with you.
Okay.
And then once you're on the phone, it's so much easier to make a sale.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about the connection, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Exciting stuff. Kelsey.
So I have two questions. One sort of just high level, kind of about your business. There was some session that I was in with you recently where you said something, and I don't know if we were just saying it in general, if you were talking about it more specifically, that groups feed your one-on-one business, right? And I'm starting to wonder, like, is that the way? Is that, you don't even have to market your one-on-one business. If you market your groups, then people want to work with you and you do this off and it's like, oh, well, for this, you can work with me privately. Is that sort of where you, is that sort of how yours, how does that work? Because I'm right. sort of like, what I'm looking at 2021 and I'm like, okay, so I did this 5-month program. I'm doing this 5-month program and I'm looking at, do I offer my 5-month program twice next year? And have that just be like what I do. Those are the 2 5-month programs. I mean, obviously you have like layers and layers of programs now. You've got, you know, whatever. And so do I do a shorter program and do I do a deeper program? And I'm kind of wondering what next and how, do you have any wisdom on that? And then I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, so there's no one size fits all or cookie cutter way to do it. I'll answer the question about my business since you asked. I'm sure everybody's curious, but that's not necessarily what might be right for you too. And so we can look at that. So yes, now, right now, and for the last, I don't know, probably 6-7 years, I have not once marketed my private practice. Now my private practice is much smaller than it was on purpose because there's a lot of energy that goes towards programming and marketing programming and all of that. But I don't market, and my private practice is fed by returning clients. And then every now and again, I'll let like a new person in, mostly from programs or from a referral. And that works in the setup that I have. Again, because I don't have 40 private clients, you know.
And do you mostly meet with them? This is sort of an off, but like, do you say if you're a private client of mine, you meet twice a month or you meet once a month, or do you have a way that like that works, like a program that you fit people into?
So these days, the last few years, I've been custom creating for each person. It'll never be once a month because that's just not enough support. But sometimes people need every other week. Sometimes people need 3 weeks, every third week. Sometimes people need a number. I have some clients that they work best in 2-hour chunks. We do that. It really depends on what the person needs. Okay. So
you sort of have like an hourly rate that you just
approximate like container. And also I also look at like how much is this person gonna need light copy editing, you know, like how much am I gonna be doing in between sessions based on what we've determined their gap in their vision is, how much marketing they already have in place, do they have a marketing team, you know, so all of that kind of comes into play when I, you know, when I kind of create the package. But all that being said, for the first, I don't know, 10, I don't know how many years I've been in business now, but the first 10 years of my business, it didn't work that way. The privates were the main thing, and then the privates fed the group. Right. I couldn't have started like where I am now. It had to evolve into right. that, right? And I've made very intentional decisions in my business around how I want to spend my time and my energy, you know, and that may change in the future, but I've slowly whittled down the private practice over the years. Not that I love working with my private clients, but like that for me, I've really wanted to grow, in particular, sacred depths, and so much of my programming revolves around sacred depths. So I share that to say there's no one way. It's not cookie cutter. It's about, like, when you think about your business model. So if you're just starting out, right? Anybody here that's just starting out, like, really you want to think for 99% of the time, like, privates, right? And that's really the best way to start. For where you are, Kelsey, I'd say, like, you are in a place now where, you know, you, as you think about your business model, you want to think about, you know, what's, how do I want to be spending my time? Number one, right? And it, then based on that, like, what are the things I want to be offering? What is exciting? You know, this private, right? Like, all of that. Then how much time do I have, right, to be spending on all of that? Because that's a big piece in it. And then add up the numbers and see, what needs to, you know, do I need to tweak the rates on this, or this program really needs to bring in this many people? Or I know I'm speaking kind of high level, you know, I'm going through it quickly. Like, usually with clients that we would spend 2 hours, you know, figuring it out. But, like, is that helpful to think about? Like, you, you want to be thinking about, how do you want to spend your time? What is it that you want to grow? And then how does that fit into the numbers that you want to end up with?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think 2020, I mean, obviously, as you know, I've been wanting to do less one-on-one. I do so much one-on-one, and I want to do more groups. And so I have to, and I've been letting some of the one-on-one stuff go, both in acupuncture and in coaching, in order to have some more space for the groups. And so when I look to 2021, I guess it's like, do I just do this group again, or do I layer in another group? And when I'm thinking about my time, so this is sort of the follow-up question, it kind of works here, is like, I've been doing this Qigong and meditation class almost every day since the pandemic started, just for free. A couple people donate, whatever. And I'm like, partially because it's been ongoing, and partially I think because it's free, people come, people go, there's 5 people one day, there's 6 people another, you know, and it's lost some of its luster to me. However, when I don't do it, I don't feel as good. And the people who like to come love it. So I'm like, do I make that a paid offering, or like, you know, an 8-week thing? We do it twice a week for 8 weeks. You try, but then it's like a whole launch. And then I have to like get people in versus like,
how many people come regularly?
About,
like, you know what I mean? Like, of the whole group, like, how many people are coming twice a week or something like that?
About 6 or 7.
6 or 7. You could, I mean, this is just something to think about. I mean, you could make it an 8-week series and just invite those 6 or 7 people in, you know, maybe make it twice a week or 3 times a week. They'll probably all say yes, you know, if it's the right offer. Yeah. Or here's another thought that I have is, what if you did a 1-day Qigong intensive and just invited, you know, anyone that has ever showed up in the last 8 months to that, like, hey, I'm doing this 1 day. It's going to be a combination of inner work and Qigong, and you give it up some content, like, whatever, and an easy price. I don't know, $97. I'm just making something up, $127, something like that. It doesn't have to be a launch then. It's just individual outreach. Could be fun for you. And then if anyone that's in it, like, isn't yet a private client or hasn't done slow power yet or whatever, it's a perfect entree into it.
Right. That's part of the reason I was asking this. It's like, I'm doing this thing anyway. Why isn't this a feeder to the, you know, like, the levels of the groups? Okay.
So, and the other thing, what I would just say is, if you're going to continue to do it every day, promote the shit out of it. And it doesn't have to take effort, but be posted. Like, this is the first I've heard you mention it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like it's hidden. Let your if you send a newsletter out, mention it every time in the newsletter, you know, post about it on social media, you know, let people know about it.
Yeah.
And then use that to feed into other things.
Yeah. And then in, yeah. So the question of whether, yes, I get the one day thing, but the question of whether it's just this ongoing, come when you want, don't come when you want, or sign up for the 8 week, maybe the, maybe just the ongoing is easier.
I, so you know best, and I'm like moving through this a little quickly, yeah, but I would be very curious, Kelsey, for you to do like a 2 month experiment where mm-hmm. you keep it free, but you let people know about it all the time. And then you make regular calls to action from the free class.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be every day, that, you know, that would be a lot, but like, you know, into having a conversation with you, into whenever the next low power is, into like a day long, whatever it, you know, I would be curious to see if you fed more people into the free thing, if that could become a lead generation tool for you. If you've already been doing it this long and you're not sick of it, I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, I think that's why I brought it up, because it's like, why isn't this elite? Like, why should my March launch of the Slow Power program be hard? Shouldn't it just be everybody who just did the Qigong for 8 months with me?
Yeah, you know? No, that's what I'm thinking. So bring more people into the Qigong.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's worth an experiment.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that's just like, I'm a little bored of it, but I'll switch up the routine or whatever. But like, it's so good for me. I love to get up and do this. Like, that's more fun than a launch.
You're not already integrating slow power messaging into it. That should be a piece in there. Not teaching, not slow power teaching, slow power messaging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, let's reconnect on that in the new year. I feel like it's got legs.
Yeah, thanks.
Involved.
Hi. So I'm doing this event tomorrow, and I'm excited to be doing my first thing in a really long time.
I'm excited for you.
So it's going to be really small, and it's mainly going to be current clients. So this whole, like, you know, invite friends, like, didn't really work. It's a busy time. So I'm just curious. There's two things. One is what to do for a CTA. Yeah. So that's the first question.
Yep. Is it all clients, or is there one or two new people sprinkled in there?
There's one friend so far. There may be another one. And then there's two former clients.
Awesome. So what I would do for the CTA is, like, from you. So first of all, love up on them throughout the whole circle. Like, just show, I know you will show up fully, love up on them, just like really make it a beautiful, beautiful experience. And then at the end, from your heart to theirs, I would just like express such appreciation for them, you know, and that, and the, you know, for those of you here that are my clients, I just like appreciate you so much. I have just so much love in my heart. I, you know, just so happy that you're in my life. So happy that we get to do the work that we get to do together. It's such a privilege. And I want you to know that in 2020, I'm going to have a couple, some more spaces open in my practice. And it would mean so much to me if you would share about the work that we do together with those people that you know and you love. I know that life can get busy and it may not be at the top of the priority list, but I am gonna follow up with an email, you know, over the next few days. You know, would you be willing to share? And then you can share a little bit about, you know, what kind of person you're looking for, you know, and all of that. And then I'd say for those of you, or if it's just one person, you know, if you're here and you're new, you know, this is a little bit of a taste of the power that of the work that I do one-on-one, and to speak a little bit to the work, and then even just ask, you know, there's only, if there's two, you might put them on the spot a little bit, but not really. I have a feeling they'd be so happy to share. I'd say, like, does anyone here who has been working with me want to share about the experience and what you've received? You know, and then I would just say, please get in touch for a call. So keep it like casual and warm and intimate, but definitely make the asks and then do the follow-ups.
So I don't need to be like, if you refer anyone, they'll get like a 20%.
You can do that in a follow-up email. I don't know. I'm just sensing, you tell me, but I'm sensing it energetically. I feel like it's like less business, more heart in that full circle.
Yeah.
Because when you ask for referrals, like, the top reason why a client gives a referral is not for the referral fee. It's because of the like love and wanting to pass on the power of the work. The fee is a like added bonus, and you can mention that in the follow-up emails that you send.
And okay, I just based on my, is it okay even if like two of them have already referred people to me?
Yeah, so mention that, say like, I know that you guys send referrals and I so appreciate it. And, you know, I just want you to know, like, I do have some more space, and you're actually, you know, my clients are my top referral angels, because you're the exact type of people that I love to work with. And I know that you know people like you.
Great. So the other thing, and we had spoken about this at some point, is, so a lot of people were like, I can't make it. But you know, but would love to connect. So you had mentioned doing, so I just want to get that sorted for January. So do I just set up like 20 minute sessions, half an hour sessions? I was thinking I could use them. So this is with former clients. And so it would be great to catch up. And I could think I could also use them as like informational interviews.
Yes.
So, you know, how long should this like check-in be? I'm not trying to do like, you know, yeah, like hour long sessions.
Yeah, 20 minutes feels too short though.
Yeah, 20 minutes is too short.
Check in and then, you know, start asking some questions. And I would say in the thing, you know, we may not need it, but I'm giving us 40, you know, I'm putting 40 minutes aside in my calendar. I'm really like, and if you want to use it as an informational interview, let them know also. Well, has the invite has just been to connect, right?
Yeah.
So then maybe don't, you know, just do it in between the lines, but don't, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. So we can talk in the new, in the new year about like setting the, like how to, what to ask.
Yeah. I mean, essentially it's just, you know, how are you? Like to begin with, you know, like, tell me what's going on. This has been such, you know, such an insane, you know, we're coming out of such an insane year, like, you catch me up. And then a little bit, you'll pick up on whatever they share, but go into gaps, you know, based on what they share, and, you know, ask more about that. And I, you know, each conversation is going to be different. Like, I don't want to say like, then go into vision or anything like that. I think you'll see with each person, if there's legs there to like, keep on moving forward with a process or not. You know, for some people, I think it's going to just, through all of that, it will just feel natural and aligned and right to say, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn, or of course, like, I'm not attached, but, you know, I just want you to know, like, and you know this, everything that you're sharing, this is exactly what you know, I help my clients with, I have a couple of spots open, you know, is that something that you would want to talk about? Are you ready for some more held support again? It probably won't happen in every conversation that you have, but the ones where it feels right.
And regardless, I can ask for referrals.
For sure.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm excited for tomorrow in Ball. I'm so glad you're doing it. Kara. Can't hear you.
Maybe it's an unusual, it's not a business question, but I feel like this continues to be my thing and I'm just wanting to explore in a micro way. So the busyness factor, and this message that I got from my shoulder, as you know, Joanna and Kelsey, and some work I've done this past week where like my body was showing me like cut off your head basically. And like, here is where your power is. And so not cut off, but just like my head in this session went like completely numb and my body was like pointing me to my heart and throat. And so I just wanted to explore again, this is, can be in a short capacity, but like I really want to crack this. and I know it's not necessarily like something to crack or to force, but what, I mean, I can tell myself like I'm not going to work at night, and I've done that before, and I spiral back. And you know, I am a busybody, I've always been that way, and I don't want to like knock that part of myself entirely. Like, yeah. I like having a lot going on. But yeah, I'm just sitting in this question of like, what's it going to take for me to integrate these insights in a more powerful way? And what is my commitment around that in the new year?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny, like that, you know, you use like the term break, and then like you kind of corrected yourself. And like, of course it's not breaking, but I think the other like connotation that the breaking has, Kara, is that it doesn't get to be a process and an evolution. Like there's something about a break that it just, right, it breaks. Mm-hmm. And you can tell me if you agree with this, because you might not, but my sense is, especially because you're a busybody and that's one of the things that you love and you've had these long held patterns, it is not kind to yourself or gentle to yourself to not think of this as a process, mm-hmm. versus like, I'm just going to jump to this place. Mm-hmm. And possibly in attempts in the past, maybe that's been part of the problem of, mm-hmm. the then going back to the old ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm not attached to that, but I'm just tossing that to you. Tell me if that resonates, or if not, what that sparks for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that perspective. I think because I'm such a doer, there's a mentality around like this can be undone and undone. And I remember talking to Anne in our last coaching retreat, and she's like, oh, that's going to be a process. And then my whole body was like, no, it's not. I mean, I could just see that part of me. I wasn't really thinking that, but I was like, what do you mean? I'll just decide not to be so busy. It won't be a big deal. I hired a VA. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Tomorrow, it's all going to fall into place tomorrow.
So, yeah. Okay. So, it's helpful to see that part of myself and to ease into a process. And
yeah, so if this were a process, mm-hmm. what would the next step of the process be? And ask your body, because I mean, all of our bodies give us so much wisdom, but Kara, like lately your body has been giving you so much wisdom. Mm-hmm. So don't think it, just ask your body.
It's telling me I did something last night where I put Ellie to bed and then I could feel the tiredness, and I did like a meditation, like a guided meditation, and my whole body was just like I could feel it sort of relaxing into itself. And so it was like a form of work, right? But it was this work.
Yeah, sometimes we need to trick our egos.
and I actively said to myself, like, I can open my computer to turn on this meditation, but I can't go into email. And so I think experiment, and just even talking this out loud and being witnessed in this commitment feels supportive. That like the evenings are, it's not like there's no work, it's soul work time.
Yeah. And the soul work is a big percentage of the business work.
Exactly.
And if you need, right, if you need that, I'm just going to toss that out there.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's what I've been feeling, is like, this is so related to my work.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that, right? So it's a part of a process, and that feels, and you can tell me if you agree, that feels kinder and more gentle to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is really, you know, ultimately, I think part of what you're going for here, even in the not wanting to work at night, right, is to have some more of that in your life.
Nurturing, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful, good.
I have just one phrase that was coming up for me as you were talking. And I don't know if this helps at all in that nighttime, but the difference between self-abandonment and self-attunement. And if the work you can do at night is self-attuning versus computer work is self-abandoning, usually for me,
right.
It's going outside of myself to be, it's the kind of work that's exhausting. It's draining because it requires self-abandonment, really, for you, body abandonment for head. So can you do work that feels nourishing, that's more self-attuning instead?
Good. Who else? What do you guys need as we move towards the end of the year? What do you need to close out the year? Outer peace, inner peace, or just what needs to be expressed, what wants to be expressed?
I wanted to say one more thing, just because last time we talked about my class and how hard it was for me to do it and write it. So again, it wasn't like the easiest thing ever for this week, but it got a lot easier. And again, I did much more of that self-attunement nighttime work instead of, although last night I kind of crossed the line a little bit. But what I found is like taking an Epsom salt bath, speaking my thoughts into my voice memo instead of sitting at my computer. Like there was like different things that made it fun, more easy.
So. Yeah, and more flow.
More flow. Not perfect yet, but it's like, that was just last time. So I can see where this is going.
It's Kelsey, it's amazing. Like in a week, that was such a big shift.
Well, 2 weeks, but yeah.
Right, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Good. I see Shamit has her hand raised, and I just want to make sure before I take her again, is there anyone else that has any cues? All right, Shamit.
Well, it's in the same theme of what Kara's talking about, because I realize that I am a marathoner. Like, I'll take on a batch and then I'll marathon and then I'll be exhausted. And I know that it's just part and parcel of who I am. And I've actually always been this way ever since I was like 16. My aunt always laughs at me. She goes, "You always have too many irons in the fire. Nothing's new. You're 46 and you're the same." And I'm learning how to manage that, you know. But like my husband, last night I was like, "Oh, I'm tired. I just want to go to bed, but I have all this work to do." Because even though I have three people helping me now, I have to get everything prepared and organized for them in order for them to help me, right? So I've still got a lot to do. So I was sitting there and my husband says, "Well, you know how it is. When you have a deadline, you have a deadline." And I say, "You need to just push through it." And I said, "But that's not honoring my feminine." He said, "Honey, you're honoring your feminine if you finish this, because you really need to finish it." And I was like, "Okay." So I sat and I finished it, but then I got into a flow and then it was really fun. And then I got a whole bunch of really good work done last night. So it was actually really good that I did push through it, which is the opposite of what I, you know, kind of believe is in honoring the feminine. But I actually was honoring the masculine that needed to like finish this body of work. And so then I felt really charged this morning. I was like, yay, I got so much done. But so it's not like,
I don't think
kind of dry, you know?
Right, like there are actual moments where push through is aligned. And there are moments where push through isn't aligned. It's not only one thing. And like what I would say for you is to think about for all of us is like, so what was different about last night? Was there a different feeling in your body, or was there a different motivation, right? Like to kind of start to discern between the more productive or positive, I should say, push through versus not so positive push through. But I think that's such a beautiful lesson. And also one that like turns some of the, I don't know, masculine feminine dichotomy on its head, which we all like is so important too, right?
I know. So this is the question though I want to ask you, Joanna, because I do have a big marathon and my whole family's going on holiday for 5 days and I've chose to stay home and just get it all done because I know that if I get it done, I'll feel so good and then I can relax. But if I go away on holiday and it's not done, I'm not gonna be able to relax anyway. So I just gotta get it done. But do you have any tips for how to navigate and run that marathon without exhausting before you get to the finish line? Like,
yeah, I'm gonna answer that. And I just wanna say one thing for you, but really for everybody. This is a lesson that I have learned the hard way in my life, is like, sometimes it is right, like the wise choice. And I think it is in this case for you, by the way, of I'm just gonna do it because then when I do it, I can relax, right? Like sometimes that is so true. What has happened for me and what I am in process of working myself out of is that became chronic, right? Like, I just need to get through this and then I'm gonna relax. But then the relax period came and it was like, then I just need to get through this and then I'm gonna relax. And then the relax period came, but then I found something else, right? And so we just really wanna watch ourselves with that. Yeah, and Val is saying it's like the myth of arrival for, you know, 100%, right? So yes, there is wisdom to the like, I can relax when, but then make sure you're relaxing when. Okay, that was a little off topic from your question, but I just felt like I had to say
it. I actually really needed that.
Good. So then to answer your question, you know, what makes a marathon, is that it's balanced. It's not, a marathon is not 24/7 for 5 days. It is however X amount of hours that are planned out. You know, marathoners are very strategic. They plan their run out, like what their pacing is gonna be, what their mile pacing is gonna be, how many miles they're gonna get through the first hour, how many miles they're gonna get through the second hour, when are they going to rest? What, like they, it, it is, it is very strategic and it is very purposeful, and it takes their energy and what it takes to sustain energy, really, like it takes all of that into consideration. So the application of that with like getting a work project done, and I think my Virgo is what makes me such a good marathoner, is that I plan it out beforehand and I don't plan 8-hour work days. You know, like it's maybe I'm actually only getting 4 hours of work done, but I know exactly what those 4 hours or 5 hours of work are each day, when they're getting done, and I'm giving myself space and rest in between. Right. So that's what I would share.
I love that. Thank you so much. I just got so much from that. Yeah, I was thinking,
if anybody else is,
end of 5 days, I'm going to go get a massage. You know, I'm going to like.
Yes, and reward yourself also. Yeah, and if anybody else wants to share in the chat any other thoughts or ideas, please do. Yeah, Anna's saying, I have a friend who posts her training in a small group, every, including rest days. Yeah,
good. I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Joanna. That helped a lot.
Good. Inbal.
So remember like in retreats a few years ago, where you would kind of talk about like, you know, if like your business is in this place, like plan for 3 months or plan for 6 months or plan for a year. And I missed the first part because I overslept. But I would like to do, yeah, so I'm just curious, like anything about planning now, or if like better to leave until January. I mean, in my situation, I haven't planned anything. So like what I could do now. So yeah, I mean, I'll speak about it with Marcy next week, but kind of for where I'm at, kind of like what to, how far to plan for, and like, what are the basic things like for the first, at least the beginning of the year?
Yeah. I mean, I would say for sure, don't plan out more than 3 months. Even though you're an experienced business owner, because you've had a pause, it's sort of like a restart and a reset. So I'd say, you know, don't plan out any more than the first 3 months. And decide what you want, like what your ultimate goal is for the first quarter of the year. You know, is it to bring on 5 new private clients? You know, what is one big goal for the first quarter of the year? Is it to fill a group program? Don't pick more than one big goal. And then create the plan based on that. And if you have space, at least figure out what's happening the first couple weeks of January so that you don't like spin your wheels that first week of January, just even figuring out what to do.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I mean, my goal is to bring in more clients, so that's, yeah, I'll just do those calls and then whatever else.
Right. But not whatever else, like think through.
Right. I'll, yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right. Anybody else need anything today?
If no one's going to ask anything, I have another question. I know you talk a lot about seasons, but I'm running a marathon in the winter and it feels actually really good to me. Like I'm feeling like I run the marathon in the winter and then I can play in the spring and summer. So is it different for everyone?
Yes. Yeah, so the thing with the seasons is like, how do I want to describe it? Be mindful, like be more mindful of, right? So that doesn't mean that we all have to slow, like everybody in the world should slow down to like hibernate for 3 months in the winter, right? But it does mean that this is the time of year where if we do more than we're meant to do, it's gonna have a bigger impact on our bodies and on our psyches. And where it really is of value for us to be more mindful of when the hibernation moments are, of giving ourselves space when we need it, of giving ourselves silence when we need it, of giving ourselves more rest. But it doesn't mean that we're gonna rest for 3 months either. Like, I've got a lot of activity in my business, but I'm much more mindful of slowing down. Like, when are the right moments to slow down?
I wonder, Joanna, if I'm still in New Zealand time zone somewhat, because I mean, they're in summer right now, and that's where I've been living for years and years, and I'm new to Sweden. So I feel I still got all this kind of energy, and maybe
it may be, but also like you have a new program that's starting, that's already filling, you're doing a summit, you know, like, of course there's more energy and more activity right now, as it should. I wouldn't judge it. I would just be mindful of giving yourself the space and rest that you need, that your body needs, that your psyche needs.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So before we wrap for today, we'll do like a very quick mini wrap up. So take a moment and write down what is one thing from 2020 that you are leaving in 2020. Could be a habit, it could be a belief, it could be a relationship, it could be a rate, like for your, right? Whatever it is, what is something that you know for sure you are leaving in 2020? It is not meant to come with you into 2021. Take another moment with that. Next question. What's something from 2020 that is meant to travel with you into the next cycle? No matter how bad the year was, there's some really big, important, wonderful, golden things that have happened to hold on to and to travel, that will be traveled with you. So what is the most important thing to carry with you into 2021? Winter solstice is the longest night. It is the darkest night. And here's what's also so magical about it, is that in the longest, darkest night is also the spark. It holds the promise of the next cycle inside of it. Now it's just like flints. It's just little sparks. They don't take hold until Imolc. That's when the quickening happens. But this is actually when we start to see little glimmers of what we want to have happen next year and what is going to have happen. And so I invite you to take a moment and just close your eyes. Place a hand on your heart. And we're doing this quickly, but it's still, you'll get what you need. Bring yourself into the feeling of the longest night for a moment, into the darkest of the night, the deepest of the night, and into what that feels like. And then notice what a spark in that long night feels like. Just little glimmers. Maybe you can even see some sparks. And ask your heart, what is one spark to pay attention to as you go into this new year? What is something that is lighting, that is sparking, that is wanting your attention as you go into this new year? You might get a clear answer or just a spark of an answer. It's all good. And take a moment and just breathe it in. You can open your eyes. Well, one of the things that I am taking into my new year is just the ongoing privilege and honor that I have to hold space for all of you and just all that you bring to me and my life. Just thank you so much. I am wishing all of you a restful holiday time going into the new year, a time of rejuvenation and space, and some time to find your sparks. I'm sending you love. I'm in the office till Friday, and then I am not. I'll see you in the new year. Bye.